biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, hello. Welcome back. Another Transforming Conversation this week. And Pastor Rock, I would like to look at a scripture in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 that reads, "This is a confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, I just want to give a little background as to where I came, why this scripture is meaningful to me, and as well as I need a little understanding. My daughter has a form of alopecia where her hair does not grow. She's 5 years old and completely bald, and the doctors are just, they don't know why. And she's an identical twin where her sister has a full head of hair and it grew normally, but Hope's didn't. And I've been praying pretty consistently for her life that God would heal her, that God would bring this hair about, because I really don't want to have her enter life and enter school with the short end of the stick, so to speak, and be the butt of ridicule and jokes and start out life rough, you know, because kids can be tough, man.
You're praying because you're a dad.
Yes, yeah. And you know, I've even prayed, God, let my hair fall out and give mine to her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all have these situations that when we go before God asking for something that is very dear to us and near, that it's sometimes when it doesn't happen, it poses a question of what is then praying according to his will, and how does that apply to us? And again, I would love your thoughts to unpack this.
Okay, I'm going to do something differently in this conversation. I'm going to ask you to read that verse again slowly.
Okay.
And then I want to ask you a question.
Okay. "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us."
Is the promise that we will receive what we ask for, or that he will hear us?
That he'll hear us.
Yeah, as I look at that, my initial thought, Greg, is that we tend to think the thing we ask for has to align with his will. We tend to put the focus on the thing we're asking for. I've got a hunch that what he's actually saying there is that he wants the way we ask, the asking, to align with his will. If we ask anything according to his will, we hear if the anything aligns with his will. I'd suggest it might be saying if the asking aligns with his will. And then the promise is we'll be heard. There's a big difference between whatever you ask for, you'll get it, and as you ask, if your asking is shaped by your understanding of who I am, you will be heard. Now, let's be clear, God hears our asking in the sense of he's aware that we're praying and what we're asking for. So I don't believe that verse is a blanket guarantee that my prayer is going to be answered the way I articulate it. Because many times we don't know what God is up to.
Right.
We don't know God's will. There is mystery that clouds and covers God's will. Because God's will is based on his perfection and his total understanding and his eternal agenda. Our will is based on our imperfection, our lack of understanding,
right,
and our living in the moment. God looks at big picture. We look at freeze frame. Mm. God right. has the view from 30,000 feet, as they say. Our view, we have our nose pressed up against the reality.
Right.
So most of the time, we're not going to know God's will very well. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Right, right.
And so would God give this blanket promise that if our prayers align with his will, we'll be heard, knowing that most of the time our prayers aren't going to perfectly align with his will?
Right.
Because our viewpoint of things is so different.
Wow, right.
I mean, you want your daughter to be free of the cruelty of humanity.
Right.
And schools can be hideously cruel places. I mean, there are people in counseling at age 50 because of what happened to them in the sixth grade.
Right.
In similar fashion, I've spent the last 12 years at the time of this recording praying that my daughter, adult daughter, would acknowledge addiction and get help. And I always envisioned her having that transforming moment and then spending her life ministering to people in addiction and helping them to get free. That isn't what I got. Instead, I got God graciously bringing her back to himself on a Sunday and then taking her home
Amen.
On a Tuesday.
Hmm.
And I'm convinced in my spirit that God said she was genuine in her commitment, but she did not have the strength to live it out. She would have fallen back in, and I'm not going to let that happen to her.
Hmm.
So a very different outcome. Rather than announcing her as the speaker in this recovery meeting,
right.
Karen and I buried her. But we buried her knowing she was free.
Hmm.
I wouldn't have picked that course.
Of
I didn't
course.
Pray for that course.
Right.
But on this side of it, I can see God's mercy. Because having made a renewed commitment to Jesus, if she had fallen back, it would have been even harder for her to come back to renewed commitment again because of the shame.
Right, right.
And the devil beats you up. Oh, yeah, you've done this before. Didn't mean anything.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
And we all know that feeling in the small measure when we're struggling with some besetting sin and we ask God to help us and we make a commitment and a week later, there we are again.
Right back
at it. So in hindsight, I can see that God did answer the desire of my heart, but not the design I had in mind.
Right. Right.
And when we're praying for loved ones, and when as parents we're praying for our children, because that's probably the most intense praying anybody's got to do as a parent for a child.
Right.
I think what God is saying is it's his will that we ask. Ask and you shall receive.
Right.
He didn't say you'll receive exactly what you ask for.
Right.
He said, ask and you'll receive. I asked for my daughter's liberty. I received it, but in a very different form than I had asked for.
Right.
He said, ask and you will receive. He wants us to ask. So asking is according to his will. Asking in the name of Jesus, not as some lucky rabbit foot or incantation.
Right.
But in the recognition that the only reason I can approach the holy God on the holy throne as a sinner and former rebel is because of the merits of Jesus.
Hmm.
And when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm not binding God. This isn't magic.
Right.
I'm not a shaman.
Right.
I'm not a witch doctor. But I'm reminding myself, I could never presume to come boldly before the throne of grace if it weren't a throne of grace and if Jesus hadn't made it possible.
That's right.
So when I pour out my heart to God, because he's told me to ask, when I do so in Jesus' name, when I do so with the confidence that the God who sees a sparrow fall cares about my daughter, I'm praying according to his will. That's what I'm supposed to do as a child of God. And I have the guarantee that he will never turn a deaf ear to me. That no matter how imperfect my prayer may be, he will never turn a deaf ear to me. He hears. He cares. He understands. What I don't have as a guarantee is that he is going to answer in a way that aligns perfectly with the design of my mind.
Right.
Again, my daughter's example, the design I had in mind, that come to Jesus moment followed by once I was, but now I am, and a testimony, and people saying, oh, that testimony gave me hope, that set me free. I got a coffin.
Right.
But she's free.
Amen. Amen.
So it wasn't the design, but it was the desire.
That's right.
And he heard me.
Amen.
And in the last 48 hours of her life, God orchestrated a godly woman that he had laid upon my heart to talk to her, being awakened Sunday morning by the Spirit, with the impulse she needed to go see my daughter that morning. And talking to her frankly about the fact that she may not have long to live, even though the doctors hadn't said that. But she had that sense in the Spirit, and obviously it was right.
Yeah.
She had less than 48 hours to live.
Right.
And to speak to her directly about her soul. And to encounter a woman who in previous visits had been distant and hard. And to walk in and be amazed at the openness and the clarity. So God gave me the desire of my heart, but he didn't give me the design of my mind.
Right.
And so I think what God is saying there, I don't believe there are any places in Scripture where God gives us carte blanche in regard to prayer. People say, oh, but what? It says, if we ask anything in Jesus' name. But to ask in Jesus' name means to ask in perfect alignment with Jesus' agenda and Jesus' will. If you're asking contrary to Jesus' agenda, the fact that you drop his name doesn't mean he's obliged to change his agenda.
Right.
And the reality is you wouldn't want him to change his agenda because his ways are perfect and ours are horribly flawed.
That's right.
Why would I want God to give me what I asked for if it wasn't the perfect thing he had in mind?
Amen.
That would be stupidity.
Right.
So there aren't any carte blanche guarantees in regards to prayer. We couldn't be trusted with them. We would make heaven hell if God gave us everything we ask for.
That's right.
But I think what he's saying is, when you ask, that's my will. When you ask in Jesus' name, that's my will. When you ask confident in my goodness and my love for you, that's my will. And I hear you.
Amen.
Out of the 6 or whatever many billion people on the face of the earth, I hear you. But what you get will be determined by my perfect wisdom and not your limited perspective.
Amen.
You may not get the design in your mind, but I will grant you the desire of your heart. And even that, Greg, has an asterisk. Because if God gave us every desire of our heart, all that would be necessary for every human being on the face of the earth to come to Jesus would be for one Christian to say, Lord, I desire that all humanity be saved, and I pray that in Jesus' name.
Right.
But the reality is God desires all humanity to be saved, and it ain't got to happen.
Right, right.
So I don't think it's a carte blanche, whatever you ask for. And I would say, if you're asking and getting different, because that happens.
Yes, sir.
Don't beat yourself up by saying, well, I must be missing his will. I've got to find it. Rest in the knowledge that he hears, he cares, he knows, but he's got to act like God.
Amen.
And we don't always understand God when he acts like God.
No,
his ways are not our ways. God works in mysterious ways to us, not to himself. They're not mysteries to him,
right,
but they're mysteries to us.
Right.
And some may say, well, all that uncertainty, how do you find hope in all that uncertainty? Well, as Warren Wiersbe said, we don't live by God's explanations. We live by God's promises.
Amen.
So he's not going to explain everything. He doesn't need to. And half time I wouldn't grasp it anyhow.
Right.
But his promise is, lo, I am with you always. When you pray, I'll hear you. Nothing touches you that doesn't touch me. I will keep that which you have entrusted to me.
Amen.
When you walk through the valley, I'll be with you. I'm greater than anything you'll face. And having begun a good work in you, I will complete it. And nothing can separate you from my love for you.
Those are
promises.
Amen.
But we don't always get explanations. Why hasn't my little girl been able to grow hair? Why didn't my little girl get help for her addiction instead of die? We don't get explanations, but we get promises.
Amen.
And, you know, I think one of the reasons, one of the ways Americans miss much of God is because we're a very pragmatic culture. We like to break everything down into its components and analyze it and figure it out so that we can reduplicate it.
Right.
As somebody once said, ancient man smelled a rose. Modern man takes the petals off, puts them under a microscope, and analyzes it. And I think we bring our pragmatism to our faith. And we want to break God down into formulas.
Right.
And have predictable results. And it's really a control issue.
Wow.
But the reality is, following God has always involved mystery and sharp edges and unanswered questions and pain.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think churches that try to make the message of the gospel tidy and neat and predictable do their people a great disservice, because life isn't tidy and neat and predictable, and God isn't tidy and neat and predictable. It's as C.S. Lewis said of Aslan, he's not safe,
right?
But he's good.
Mm.
And, you know, there's always got to be mystery where prayer is concerned, because it's human beings with their nose pressed up against the window talking to a God who has the view from 30,000 feet. And there's just so much we don't get.
That's right.
So I think the promise is more when you're asking, that's my will, and you're heard, rather than, boy, if you just ask for the right thing the right way, you'll get results.
Amen.
Come on, that would be God toying with us.
Right.
God
right.
doesn't toy with
that's
us.
Right.
Those are my thoughts.
I heard a quote one time. Adrian Rogers said, a faith that is not tried in the fire and tested is a faith that cannot be trusted.
Yeah. My dad said, you'll never know the strength of your faith. Or he said, your faith is like a tea bag. You won't know the strength of it until it's in hot water. And here's the thing. It's not that God sends trials to strengthen us. Let's get rid of that notion.
Right, right.
Life is trying.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's not that he sends this. God didn't send addiction my daughter's way.
That's right.
Addiction is demonic from beginning to end.
Right.
It's one of the most demonic things in the universe. And of course, sin is the ultimate addiction. Every believer is an addiction in is an addict in recovery.
Mm, right.
Life sends the trials. The difference is, if I'm a believer, when I walk through the fire, it will not consume me. When I walk through the flood, it will not overwhelm me.
That's right. That's right.
That's the difference.
Amen. Thank you for being open, real, honest.
Oh, thank you for being open and real. And I feel like this conversation might have greater impact than any we've ever done, because it was a little less, I don't want to say a little less theological, because everything is theology. Maybe a little, it's not even less doctrinal. Let me say, this one just gets down into the nitty-gritty more than some of them.
Yeah.
And my hope is that this brief conversation will encourage somebody who's struggling because the desire of their heart and the design of God don't align.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.